And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. All men are as grass, and their glory is the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your holy and inerrant word. And we know that it is living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, it's our heart's desire that you would give us what we're lacking, that you would teach us what we need to know. Father, you know each of us even better than we know ourselves. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work powerfully in conjunction with your word. I pray that you would give comfort to those who need comfort in, conviction where conviction is needed, strengthening where faith needs to be strengthened. And Lord, I pray even for salvation, for perhaps anyone that has not come into a relationship with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, bless us now. And we do want to see Christ. We want to know him better. And we pray that his name would be glorified and magnified. And we ask all these things in his name and for his glory. Amen. Well, in this account we have before us today, Jesus gives this parable. And a parable is nothing more than a story. So Jesus often told these parables or stories because they help to communicate spiritual truths. People can relate to stories, so we often spoke in parables. In this parable that we have before us today, it's a tale of two sons. Both sons, while one was physically far from his father, the other was close in vicinity, but also far from the father, both out of fellowship. And you know, it's harder for us this morning to look at the older son and see how lost he was. It's easy for us to look at the younger son and say, well, yeah, look at him, all that wild living, and you know, squandered his wealth away and was disrespectful to his father. We've got the younger son here. He broke all the rules. We got the older son that thinks he's kept all the rules. The younger son knows he's broken the rules, but the older one thinks he's done pretty good and pretty prideful. And that really what this story represents is two approaches to God. The one with the younger son is the approach that realizes that we've all sinned, we've all made a mess of our lives. We realize we're lost and we go to the Father for mercy. The other represents the other kind of approach to God in the older son. It's a moralistic approach. It's a type of approach that somebody thinks they're going to earn God's favor by thinking they're going to keep the commands and do it all right and stand in their own righteousness. And that represents, again, the older son who thought he kept the Father's rules. So let's take a closer look at our passage here this morning. And keep in mind in this parable, there are people being represented. The father in this story represents God the Father. And this is as much about God the Father in his heart as much as it is about the two sons here. And again, with the two sons, you got two kinds of people. One that realizes they're lost, the other that doesn't realize they're lost and takes a moralistic approach to God. So let's take a closer look, beginning in verse 11. And he said, this is Jesus. Jesus is telling this parable. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. Now, let me tell you, this was an uncommon request in Jewish culture. It was actually a very shameful request. In that culture of that day, the sons were supposed to work with their father, continue with the family business, help it prosper, and, you know, they weren't to ask for their estate early and then take off and leave and not want anything to do with the father or the family. And so that's the way it was. And so he's basically saying, look, I don't want to wait around here until you die. I just want it now. And the father, he graciously gives him his request. He grants it. The older son stays. The younger son, what he does, he liquidates all he has. And, you know, he's hightailing it out of there. He's again saying, I'm tired of this business. I'm tired of the family. I'm tired of you. I want out of here. I want to live my own life. And it's going to be without you. And you know what those listening to this would have said? A lot of the religious leaders would have said, ha! That father, instead of granting the request to this younger son, he should have slapped him across the mouth and said, I'll not tolerate that kind of disrespect. That would have been the thinking. All right, now let's continue in this story. And remember, you got a mixed bag of people here. You've got some that were very religious listening to this, the Pharisees, that didn't understand grace and would have been really upset with this younger son. All right, so in verse 13, so he gets his share, takes off, the father's divided it. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And notice he goes to a distant country. I think he wants to be anonymous. So he can do whatever he wants to, and family's not going to hear about it or anything. So he goes to a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Some translations say wild living. This was extravagant living. These were, you know, wild parties and, you know, dining in all the fancy places, and he's just spending it. And there's actually, from what we see later, with the older son's complaint, he was probably squandering on prostitutes too. Okay? Just wild, reckless living. The next verse we see what happens as he he's just squandering his whole estate. Here's what happens, verse 14. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country and he began to be impoverished. Now, he blew all his money in this story. And then there's a severe famine. Now, that didn't happen overnight. This probably went on a long time where he's just spending all his money and wasting it and all that wild living. And then on top of that, loses all his money, spends it all. Then there's a famine. And boy, famines in those days could be real, real serious, as this one was in this story. So in verse 15 it says, "And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country."
Excuse me.
We got to finish breakfast here. Energy drink. It's a breakfast of champions, believe me. Okay. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, if you understand anything about the Jewish culture and their dietary laws, they don't eat pork. Okay? A strict Orthodox Jew does not have anything to do with pigs. Okay? They are an unclean animal. They were forbidden to eat it by the Mosaic law. And so, in the Jewish people's eyes, this guy had sunk just as low as he could possibly have sunk. He is really kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, as they say. And, I'm guessing, and the thing is, hunger, that'll make you do some things you never thought you would imagine. And he probably took the job so, he wouldn't have to deal with the family and the shame and all that of going back. We see how horrible it is here as he continues telling the story in verse 16. It says, "And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything." I guess these pods were stuff from a carob tree. They're really rough. Sometimes the lower class people had ate them, but they weren't very nutritious or good tasting or any of those things. They basically fed him to the swine, but he would have liked to have even eaten that. Nobody's showing him any mercy. They wouldn't even give him the pods that they're feeding to the pig. In their eyes, the pigs were more important than this guy was. And these friends that he was, all the wild living with and everything, where are they? They're nowhere to be found now. So nobody helped him now. And you know what? At this point, I think a lot of the religious leaders would have said, okay, the story's going to end now. He got what he deserved. He was disrespectful. He had the shameful request. He went out and did all the wild living and partying, all that stuff. This is a good place to end the story. And they would have liked it too, because they didn't understand grace. They didn't understand God's compassion. They didn't understand His mercy. But fortunately, the story continues in this very, very beautiful parable. In verse 17, "But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger.'" So all of a sudden, he kind of comes to his senses. And when he came to his senses, he thought about what his father was like. And remember, the father here represents God the Father. And he started thinking about how good his father was. And, just maybe he'd be merciful. And God often places us in very difficult situations sometimes in our lives so that we too would come to our senses. He allows us sometimes to hit rock bottom so we'd realize how empty our lives are without Him. And so here's what he says. Here's the plan. Here's what I'll do. I'll get up and go to my father. And I'll say to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men." So here he is. You see what he's done? He's seen his unworthiness. But he's going to kind of cast himself on his father's mercy. He's broken. He knows he's sinned. Okay? This is the one who knows he's lost. Verse 20. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, what's kind of interesting about the way Jesus is telling this story, this parable, is while he's still a long way off, his father sees him in the distance, and you can just kind of put it together and think, his father was probably looking and hoping for him every day to come over the hill on the horizon and where he'd see him. And then what he does, he's a long ways off, his father sees him, he feels compassion for him. And likewise, too, God feels compassion for us. And what he does, he runs. Okay, can you imagine this? How his son's treated him so disrespectfully, the shameful request, gone away and all those things. He runs and embraces him. And let me tell you, in the Jewish culture, here's another thing. This guy was probably a pretty well-to-do person. And it was a very undignified thing for, say, a middle-aged man like this to just start running to his son. But he doesn't care about that. He's just so happy to see his son. He has compassion on him. He runs to him. He embraces him. And he kisses him. And again, remember the father in this story gives us some insight into God the Father's heart. It's just so beautiful what he does. And think about this, you know. God's not going to make it difficult for you either. Okay? He's looking and waiting and desirous for you to come to him, for you to throw yourself upon his mercy. And believe me, anybody that casts themselves on the mercy of the Lord will find mercy. There is mercy with the Lord. There is forgiveness. There is grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace and greater than we can ever imagine. Because that's the way the Father is. Verse 21. And the Son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That's what he said he was going to say to him. He did. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. This was a time of celebration. His son had come home. He was so happy. And you know the one who's really honored in all this? It's the father. Because it shows what amazing grace he has toward his son. He didn't, you know, stand up, say, well, look what you did now, and boy, you really blew it, and I don't know if I'll do anything for you. Quite the opposite, wasn't it? This was just an amazing, amazing grace. And it shows us the heart of our Heavenly Father. And he says, for this son of mine, you know, he's saying, let's celebrate now, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. And again, you know, before we come to God through Jesus Christ, his Son, we're all lost, whether we realize it or not. And when we're found, there is just great, great celebrating that goes on. Now, the religious leaders at this time, as well as many people today that don't understand grace, that don't appreciate grace, have the attitude of this older brother who thinks everybody's got to earn everything and everybody needs to get what they have coming to them and don't like to even see other people be treated with grace and mercy. And here's the older son that comes into the picture here now. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back, safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. So, you know, he becomes angry. He doesn't even want to go into this party. Doesn't want any part of this thing. And it's actually a disrespectful thing to do to the father. This was probably the happiest day of the father's life. His son had come home safe and sound, and he won't have any part of this. And yet the father, which is kind of neat here, just shows even more grace. He comes out and pleads with them to come inside. And likewise, those that think they're okay and sometimes a moralistic approach to God and thinking you're going to earn this and that, the father's still also concerned about the older son that did stay, even though his heart was far away. So his father's pleading with him, and here's how the son answers him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I've been serving you and I've never neglected a command of yours." And, you know, you can see the attitude here, can't you? Look, you know, you see the disrespect. He's saying, you know, for so many years I've been serving you. This literally gives you the idea. I've been slaving for you. And he says, you know, when this son of yours, okay, and right before he says it, you know, okay, I've been serving you, I've never neglected a command of yours. That's certainly not true, okay? He had, as most people have a moralistic approach to God, they think they've done pretty well. And they kind of think they've kept everything together, but they haven't. None of us have. We're all in the same boat here. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? And he says, and yet you've never given me young goats that I might celebrate with my friends. Listen how he refers to his brother. But when this son of yours, okay, he doesn't say, well, my brother came home. When this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. Again, he's not done a great job as a son. He didn't seem to think he's done pretty well, but he hasn't. His heart was far, far away from the father. And in this case, even showing great disrespect and even ingratitude. You never did this for me. You know, people with a moralistic approach, they always think they deserve more. Okay? They don't realize we deserve nothing. And God's been merciful and given us what we don't deserve. Okay? Just amazing grace. Verse 31. And he said to him, "Son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours." In other words, kind of getting back to, you know, this was the agreement. The rest, you know, it's yours, and everything I've had is yours. And he says, "But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. It was lost and has been found." I think there's some application that we really don't want to miss about this story. And I just want to sum a few things up here for us to think about as we're kind of winding down with this message. First of all, again, I want to reiterate, the father in this story shows us something about the heart of God and about his compassion, about his love, about his grace. The younger son was the sinner that was saved. Because he came to his senses, he realized he was a sinner, and cast himself on the mercy of the Father. That son was saved. The other son that stayed at home, he was still lost. He was outside the party. He was outside of salvation. He thought he'd done everything pretty good, but he was lost. And he was lost because of his self-righteousness. And there are many people today that think they're pretty good because maybe they compare themselves to some other person and think, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Look at him. He, you know, they always point to some guy down the street that's doing worse. It's just a comparative righteousness. But in actuality, there's no understanding about the holiness of God. He is absolutely perfectly holy and can't take us with even one sin, let alone the thousands I know that I've committed. And I've used this, let's do the math here just for a minute. I know my very best day, and this would be being gracious to me, I've sinned at least 3 times. At least, okay? Because we can sin our thoughts, our words, our actions, willingly breaking God's commandments. There's so many ways we can sin, okay? So let's just say for purpose of adding the numbers up, and you know, I've got my sister here who's a math teacher. She used to be a math teacher. I was kind of over those teachers, but she can make sure I stay on track with this, okay? We get calculator out? Okay. All right. Let's say I sin three times a day, which would be being gracious, times 7 days a week. That's 21 sins, right? 21 sins a week times 52. What do we have?
1,092.
1,092 times 58 years old is what I am.
Uh-huh.
What do we have?
63,336.
63,336 sins, and that's being gracious to myself. My uncle knows me. He knows me well. Better than any of you know me. Okay? And, you know, one sin would keep me out of heaven, let alone the 63,000 something. Okay? But God is gracious and He's merciful and He's forgiving. And no matter how many sins or how great they are, His grace is greater, as that song goes, than all of our sin. And we need to come to our senses like the younger brother, realize we're lost, realize we have sinned, realize we are unworthy, we're undeserving, and just look to Him for mercy, and He'll give it. Because that's the way He is. And that's what this passage in this parable tells us. There's two ways to be lost, really. There's one that do the obvious of breaking all the rules, and you also can be lost by thinking you're righteous and kind of approaching God that way. You can be completely sinful, a wild living. We all get that, okay? But you know, you can be just as lost and thinking you're pretty good and having that moralistic approach to God and thinking you're going to come to Him in your own righteousness. Nobody can, nobody ever has, and nobody will. Okay? We need the righteousness that only Christ can give through faith in Him. And when we put our faith in Him, we receive His righteousness. It's a wonderful exchange. He takes our sin and His body on the cross through faith, and He gives us His righteousness. So when God sees us, He sees us as He sees His Son. Perfectly righteous, just as though we've never sinned. And again, the older brother, he was kind of comparing himself, I think, to the younger brother. He thought he was pretty good. And I want to say something about that, too. It'd kind of be like this. And people tend to do this. You know, people that try to approach God in their own righteousness, they compare themselves. It'd be like, you know, if I was to jump off a dock and I go out and I'm running and I jump off maybe 10 or 15 feet. Well, you know, you look at somebody like Angelo here. He's young and athletic. He'd probably jump, you know, 25, 30 feet. He'd probably beat me by twice, okay? But if the goal was jumping off that dock and getting to the other side of the ocean, it doesn't matter that he beat me. We both come short, right? And that's the way it is. I don't care who you compare yourself with. We all come short of God's holy standards and perfection. And we need the righteousness of Christ. Because the only thing that gets us into heaven is perfection. Never sinning once. And we've all sinned. I've sinned at least a 63,000 something. Okay. Perfection. We need Christ to make us perfect through His sacrifice of Himself, where He Himself bore our sins in His body. The religious leaders didn't like that story, and people today sometimes don't like this story because they don't understand grace. They don't like grace. But this is the way God is. He is a God of grace. So, in kind of winding this up about the sons we have here today, we got a son before us in this story who came home and was saved, came to his senses, cast himself on the mercy of his father, realized he was lost. There was a lost son who stayed home, an older son, lost son who stayed at home, and he was still lost. He ended up being still lost, didn't understand the ways of grace, the ways of God. And I want to ask you in closing Are you a younger brother, or are you maybe an older brother? Again, the younger brother is very easy to recognize. You know, it's easy to see it when somebody's, you know, living in the mud and feeding the pigs, right? Okay, it's not so easy to see some of the other stuff when somebody's moralistic. Okay, but if you're the younger brother, you just need to come to your senses. You're actually closer than the older brother was when he came to his senses, younger brother, because you recognize your sin. And you cast yourself on the mercy of God who is merciful. And remember, the Father's heart. He's looking over the horizon, okay? And when he sees you coming, he's not going to put up barricades. He's going to come running, going to embrace you, going to weep, going to kiss you. It's going to be celebration. Because that's the way it is. Now, I was a younger brother type, no doubt. But you know, this story was also as much about the older brother who stayed at home, thought he was doing everything right, and yet he was the one who was lost, never got saved, and was very far from his Father's heart. And if you're in that kind of position, you need to repent of that and say, I realize I've sinned. I've been trying to do it my own. I can't. I need you, Jesus. And you need to cast yourself on his mercy and seek his forgiveness and trust him and his substitutionary sacrifice on the cross. But you know, God's concerned about you too. And I pray he's even working conviction in your heart right now. You know, there's something else about the older son. Hey, think about this. The older son, an older brother, should have been going out seeking his younger brother, shouldn't he? Wouldn't that be what a good older brother would do? He's lost and made a mess of his life. Needs help, but he doesn't. He should have. But I want to say this. There's actually a third son in this story. Well, that? There's a third son in this story, and that's the son who is telling the story, the very Son of God. And Jesus, the Son of God, had the opposite heart of the older brother who stayed at home and resented his younger brother. Jesus went out to seek and to save that which was lost. That which had made a mess of their lives, which is basically, it's all of us. Jesus was the older brother that we needed, who left his home in heaven to come down to earth to save us. And we needed that older brother to give up everything that he had, which Jesus did. An older brother who would leave the comforts of heaven and home to seek us and to save us. And it was Jesus who left heaven, became a man while fully remaining God, lived a perfect, sinless, absolutely beautiful life. He's one that never sinned in thought, word, deed, action, perfect. He kept all the rules. He did it all right. He loved perfectly. Loved his neighbor as himself, more so than himself. He loved the Lord as God, his Father, with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He was absolutely perfect and beautiful. And we needed that sinless substitute to take the punishment and be the sacrifice, take the wrath of God that you and I deserved. Everyone on this earth is lost. Some just don't realize it. Because maybe they compare themselves to the younger brothers types. But I just encourage anyone here this morning. God knows where you are. Maybe God's revealed where you are. Maybe you're an older brother. You've tried to do the, you know, think you're going to stand your own righteousness. You won't. You got a better chance of standing on the sun without melting than standing before a holy God when it comes time for judgment. You have no chance. And my question to you is, why? Why would you want God's justice where you would be judged for every single sin you've ever done and judged eternally into a real literal hell that Jesus talked about? Why would you want that kind of justice when you can have his mercy? And his mercy is free. And it's here for every one of us today who trust in Christ. And I just encourage you, if you've not come to that point and done that, cast yourself on Christ's mercy. Come to your senses like the younger son. Realize you've sinned. Stop the moralistic approach, or maybe you already know you're lost. You're actually pretty close, son, if you know you're lost. Because the only way you can be found is if you know you're lost first. The older son didn't know he's lost. Okay? Come to Christ. Cast yourself in His mercy. There's mercy with the Lord. Because, you know, this story is about the heart of God the Father. But Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the Father's nature. You want to know what God the Father is like? You look at Jesus. They're exactly the same. Okay? Jesus is just like the Father. Exact representation of His nature. So, look to Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father. You know where each of us at spiritually. And just pray, Father, that You would give to each one what they're lacking. I pray that You would give faith where faith is needed. I pray that You would give conviction where that's needed. I pray that we'd all have a better understanding of Your grace, how undeserving we are, and that we would fully trust Your Son in all that He's accomplished. That we would repent of thinking we have a chance of doing it on our own. And that we'd not be like an older brother thinking we deserve to come into the party of heaven. On our own in what we've done. We only do it because of what Your Son has done. And I pray for each one here that there'd be a full trust and dependence upon Your Son Jesus, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.